Wednesday, December 31st, the seventh day in the octave of Christmas. The first reading from the first letter of St. John, chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of our number. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Their desertion shows that none of them was of our number. But you have the anointing that comes from the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do, and because every lie is alien to the truth. Haydock Commentary. It is the last hour, that is, according to the common interpretation, the last age of the world, from the coming of Christ to the day of judgment and the end of the world, which St. Paul calls the end and consummation of ages. See Hebrews 9:26. As you have heard that Antichrist cometh, that is, the great Antichrist, or is to come in this last age, now there are already many Antichrists, that is, as the word signifies, many adversaries to Christ, who are forerunners of the great and last Antichrist. These Antichrists can be understood as the many heretics and enemies of Christ and His Church. St. Cyprian says, all are called Antichrists that have divided themselves from the charity and unity of the Catholic Church. They were not of us, true and profitable members, though it can scarce be doubted but that some of them, at least for some time, truly believed, and by their going off, God was pleased to make it manifest that they were not of His faithful members. Such were Simon Magus, Cerinthus, Ebion, Nicholas of Antioch, and others. They were not solid, steadfast, genuine Christians, otherwise they would have remained in the Church. The true note or mark of heresy is the going out of or leaving the Catholic Church. God permits some to go out, that the true and tried faithful may be known. You have the anointing that comes from the Holy One. You are sufficiently instructed by the grace and Spirit of God against such false teachers. And you all have knowledge. You know what you ought to believe and practice, and therefore I have not written to you as to ignorant persons. The true children of God's Church, remaining in unity under the guidance of their lawful pastors, partake of the grace of the Holy Ghost, which was promised to the Church and her pastors, and they have in the Catholic Church all necessary knowledge and instruction, so as to have no need to seek it elsewhere, since it can be found only in that society of which they are members. The Gospel from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through Him, and without Him nothing came to be. What came to be through Him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him. Haydock Commentary. The eternal Word, the uncreated wisdom, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the only begotten Son of the Father. He is of the same nature and substance, and the same God, with the Father and Holy Ghost. This Word was always, so that it was never true to say he was not, as the Arian heretics blasphemed. This Word was in the beginning. When all other things began to have a being, he never began, but was from all eternity. And the Word was with God, that is, was with the Father, as it is said in verse 18, which implies that he is indeed a distinct person, but the same in nature and substance with the Father and the Holy Ghost. And the Word was God. Here the eternity and the divinity of the second person are incontrovertibly established. Otherwise we must say that language has no longer a fixed meaning, and that it is impossible to establish any point whatever from the words of Scripture. All things were made by Him, and without Him was made nothing that was made. These words teach us that all created being, visible or invisible on earth, everything that was ever made or began to be, were made, produced, and created by this eternal Word, by the Son of God. When we consider and speak of any creatures, of anything that was made or had a beginning, all things were equally created in time, and are equally preserved no less by the Son and by the Holy Ghost than by the Father. The creation of all things, visible and invisible, was the work of the whole Blessed Trinity, but the Scriptures generally attribute it to the Word, because wisdom, reason, and intelligence, which are the attributes of the Son, are displayed most in it. What wonderful tergiversations the Arian heretics use to avoid the evidence of this text, even such as modern dissenters do to avoid the evidence of "this is my body" concerning the Blessed Eucharist. In Him, that is, in this Word or Son of God, was life, because He gives life to every living creature. Or, as Maldonatus expounds it, because He is the author of grace, which is the spiritual life of our souls. And the life was the light of men, whether we expound it of a rational soul and understanding which He gives to all men, or of the spiritual life and those lights of graces which He gives to Christians. He was in the world. Many of the ancient interpreters understand this verse of Christ as God, who was in the world from its first creation, producing and governing all things, but the blind, sinful world did not know and worship Him. Others apply these words to the Son of God as man, whom even God's own chosen people, the Jews, at His coming, refused to receive and believe in Him. He came to His own. This regards principally the Jews. Jesus came to them as into His own family, but they did not receive Him. It may likewise be extended to the Gentiles, who had grown so long a time in darkness, and only seemed to wait for the rising Sun of Justice to run to its light. They likewise did not receive Him. These words, though apparently general, must be understood with restriction, as there were some, though comparatively few, of both Jews and Gentiles, who embraced the faith. He gave them power to be made adoptive sons of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. They are made the children of God by believing and by a new spiritual birth in the sacrament of baptism. The Word was made flesh. This Word, or Son of God, who was in the beginning, from all eternity, at the time appointed by the divine decrees, was made flesh, that is, became man, by a true and physical union of His divine person, from which the divine nature was inseparable, to our human nature, to a human soul and a human body, in the womb and of the substance of His Virgin Mother. From the moment of Christ's incarnation, as all Christians are taught to believe, He that was God from eternity became also true man. In Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we believe one divine person with two natures and two wills, the one divine, the other human, by which substantial union, one and the same person became truly both God and man. By this union and a mutual communication of the properties of each nature, it is true to say that the Son of God, remaining unchangeably God, was made man, and therefore that God was truly conceived and born of the Virgin Mary, who, on this account, was truly the Mother of God, and that God was born, suffered, and died on the cross to redeem and save us. He dwelt among us, in a material body like ours, clothed with our nature. He has become mortal, and like us in everything but sin and concupiscence. He came among us like a stranger and passenger who makes no long stay in one place. The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. The sense, says St. John Chrysostom, is that he is greater in dignity and deserves greater honor. Though born after me, he was from eternity. And of his fullness we have all received, not only Jews, but also all nations, grace in place of grace. This implies abundance of graces, and greater graces under the new law of Christ than in the time of the law of Moses. Before the coming of the Messiah, all men had the light of reason. The Greeks had their philosophy, the Jews, the law and prophets. All this was a grace and favor bestowed by God, the author of all good. But since the Word was made flesh, God has made a new distribution of graces. He has given the light of faith and caused the gospel of salvation to be announced to all men. He has invited all nations to the faith and knowledge of the truth. Thus He has given us one grace for another, grace in place of grace, but the second is infinitely greater, more excellent, and more abundant than the first. No one has ever seen God. No mortal in this life by a perfect union and enjoyment of him has seen him, nor can any creature perfectly comprehend his infinite greatness. None but his only begotten divine Son, who is in the bosom of his Father, not only by a union of grace, but by a union and unity of substance and nature, of which Christ said, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. John 14:11.